if you would please turn to Philippians chapter 1. Now, obviously, since this morning, my throat has closed up. So I'll keep this microphone up close to to my mouth, and we'll see how this goes. The song we just sang expresses in a great way some of what I want to talk to you about tonight, which Paul expresses in Philippians 1, and beginning in verse 19, where he says, "For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." The this that he says, I know will turn out for my deliverance, was the preaching that he was doing, even in the face of opposition. And he was expressing here his confidence that if he would be faithful to the Lord and would continue in his work, that it would turn out for his deliverance. But he continues on and he says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall, even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or death." He said, it doesn't matter how things turn out for me, and what it doesn't matter what happens to me, but my expectation is to, with hope, to receive the blessings of the Lord, because he will be exalted in my body. He will be exalted, whether I live or whether I die, as a result of these persecutions. It is really meaningless. But he will be exalted by me. And then he makes the famous statement we're familiar with in verse 21, when he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And it's that last phrase that I want to talk to you about this evening. To die is gain. How can that be? You ask most people today, and they would say that death is anything but a gain. But Paul, who expressed this commitment to the Lord, and express this determination to live his life in faith and in service to the Lord, whatever it might bring, life or death to him, he's going to remain true to the Lord. To Paul, then, death was a gain. Well, I want to suggest a few reasons to you, briefly. How it is that death can be a gain. Because it is certainly a common experience for us, death. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old or whether you're somewhere in between. Death is going to be an experience in your life as long as the Lord delays his coming. Death is going to be an experience that you will have to face. And it would be helpful to us, I think, if we could look at death as being something that is a gain to us because of our faith, because of our commitment to the Lord. And there are, I think, some good reasons why we can and should look at death as a gain. The first one is because of the person to whom it takes us. And that's what Paul expresses here. He says in verse 23 of this chapter that he has a desire to depart and be with Christ. Death, the departure from this life, Paul was acknowledging, was the avenue by which he would go and be with Christ. It's true for every one of us. That death, for those who are Christians and those who are living faithfully and in service to the Lord, death is the avenue by which we go to Christ. There is a person with whom Paul wanted to be. More than he wanted to remain in this world, that meant more than he wanted to remain with any other persons that he might know, there was a person with whom he wanted to be, and that was Jesus. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. There again, the preference, the choice that Paul says he has made is to have a preference to be with Christ over the preference to be in this world. He goes on back in Philippians chapter 1, he goes on and he talks about the fact that he was willing to remain in this life. It was to their benefit. He could accomplish some good for them by remaining in this life. And said, you know, so he was willing to stay in this world. But he wanted to go. He wanted to go to be with the person, Jesus. I wonder sometimes if we get that reverse. And we're willing to go, but we want to stay. And the fact of the matter is, there are people here that we want to be with more than we want to be with the Lord. And there are experiences in this life, and there are things in this life that we want more than we want to be with the Lord. If we're going to be able to look at death as a gain, then we need to develop the ability that Paul had to desire to depart and to be with Christ, to go and to be with the person, Jesus. But now, I think that we can also say that Paul developed this view of death because of the place that it brings us to. And I've touched on it some already, but how do you describe heaven? How do you view heaven? What is your view of heaven? Of heaven? There's a little girl who had been blind from birth. And she had a surgery that gave her sight back. The day came when they were going to remove the gauze from her eyes and she was going to see for the first time. And so they removed all of the bandages. Tears started to well up in her eyes and run down her face. She began to run around the room, looking at everything for the first time. And she ran to a window and she looked outside and saw the green grass and the trees and the blue sky and the white puffy clouds in the sky. And she said, "Oh, Mother, it's so beautiful. Why didn't you tell me?" And her mother said, "Well, honey, I tried, but you just had to see it for yourself." Now, there are many wonderful descriptions in the Bible of heaven, descriptions given in terms with which we relate so that we might get some kind of grasp of what it is. But I'm pretty confident that even still, we don't know. We don't comprehend what it is really like. And that probably, when we do see it, that we'll say like that little girl, why didn't somebody tell me it was like this? Over in the book of Revelation, we won't read this passage, but in Revelation chapter 21, in verses 9 through 21, there's a wonderful description of heaven given in terms that we can relate to help us to have some sort of concept of what it is like. Surely this is true. In all the passages of the Bible that speak of heaven and that describe it, and surely the description has been provided well enough by the Lord to make us want to go there. Surely it has been sufficiently described so that we can appreciate that what death does is that it takes us to a wonderful place, a place that is better. As much as we might have an allegiance to this world, and as much as we may have attachments here, and as much as we may appreciate this life and may want to continue in it, we need to develop this appreciation for what death does. And the person it takes us to, the place that it takes us to, and the third thing would be the provisions with which it provides us. And I think Paul touches on this some in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the first three verses, when he says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down," talking about our bodies, and our bodies decay, if it gives way, "we know that if it is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven." Well, do we? Are we longing to put this aside, to put this body aside, and to be clothed with what God has for us, what God has provided for us? I mean, you stop and think about the provisions that death takes us to heaven, to dwell in this eternal body that Paul is describing here. It takes us to everything that the all-wise God could think of to provide for us. It takes us to the place that the all-powerful God worked to bring into existence for our well-being and our benefit. No, I tell you, if we began to to think more along the lines of that Paul expresses here in 2 Corinthians 5, we'd have an easier time of looking at death as that which is a gain to us. And the last thing that I would say to you that is a reason for us to look at death as a gain is because of the persons with whom it unites us. I think of that passage in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, when after writing about all of those great men and women of faith who had lived centuries before and demonstrated faith, the Hebrew writer then begins to talk about the great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about those people that he had listed in the previous chapter. He says there's this great cloud of witnesses that we now live our lives, before. And I believe he expresses that as an encouragement. Now, sometimes people will say, "Oh, David, we ought to want to go to heaven to be with the Lord." Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that was my first point. But I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging the fact that there is a great crowd of witnesses, a great crowd of people who have lived their lives in faith to the Lord, many of whom did so without the benefits of Christ. They lived before Christ, but that's exactly what the Hebrew writer says about those people in chapter 11. They didn't have the benefits that we have, but nonetheless, they lived in faith. What a wonderful joy it will be to be with such people. Mary, would you tell me what Jesus was like as a boy? John, would you explain the book of Revelation to me? David, would you sing the 23rd Psalm? And the list could go on and on with great heroes of faith that we are familiar with in the Scriptures. And no doubt there would be people from your life that you would look forward to being reunited with. You know what does it? Death. Death will bring you that gain of taking you to the persons of faith with whom you want to be united. I don't want to leave the impression with you that I think we ought to have this flippant view. And Paul, I think, was not expressing a flippant view about death and the pain of separation that it produces. I mean, death, there are a lot of terrible things about death. But I want to tell you, what Paul is trying to teach us is there are some things that are accomplished in our death that won't be accomplished in any other way. We'll acknowledge that, it'll help us to look at death and to be prepared for it. Are you prepared for it? Are you living in such a way, as Paul began in the text as we read it, a way of faith and of service to the Lord so that you can look at death in this way as being something that will bring great gain to you? Well, if you're not, if you're not living as a Christian, then please begin to do so today. Give your faithful obedience to the Lord's gospel, and by it be redeemed from your past sins, forgiven, made a child of God, and made one who's ready for that eventual event, your departure from this life. We pray that you'll come in obedience to Him while we stand and sing.